Sit down, children. Gather round. It's time for one of Kat's dark, dark bedtime stories. I'm going to tell you about Scarlet and her wolf. The twisted primal tale of Little Red Riding Hood and her wolf. And I dedicate the story to my wolf, who knows who he is. There we go. Listen closely. I pulled my red hood deeper into my face to keep out the icy wind. The rim was already stiff, and my gloves resembled grotesque frozen paws. On a clear day, the wintry landscape with its snow-covered trees and glistening icicles was beautiful, yet unforgiving. Today was no such day. I was foolish to even be here, but my mother's words echoed in my mind. Take Grandmother her cake, Scarlet. You know how much she likes to see you. It might be her last winter. And so I had to set off. The weather cold and overcast. I knew this path like the back of my hand, but now, several exhausting hours later, I found myself battling through a near whiteout. The trees were swaying dangerously, periodically offloading dumps of snow into my path. If it even still was the path. Everything looked the same, and each step had me pushing through deep snowdrifts. But it wasn't just that. An uneasy feeling gnawed at me. I felt like I was being watched. My eyes darted nervously into the undergrowth, but I saw nothing. Suddenly, an ominous cracking sound echoed through the whiteness. Unstable ground, falling, swallowed. My heart missed a beat. I slipped several feet further down into the freezing cold water. The shock of the water cleared the fog of panic for a second. East. I'd strayed too far east. The stream shouldn't even be here. It was too late to worry about the loss of direction now, I thought, as my foot broke through the ice into the freezing water. Above me were easily 3 feet of compacted snow. I tried to push myself up and out, but there was nothing firm to hold on to. The more I struggled, the more the snow closed over me. Soon, icy shards were everywhere, having found their way through the smallest gaps in my clothing. I let out a muffled cry of frustration. Idiot. Stupid. I shouldn't have come. Well, this dumb fault. It's too bloody late now. I was starting to get desperate and cold. The icy water had long since soaked through my shoes. It clawed up my calves, 1,000 icy needles burrowing into my bones. My breath hitched, each gasp burning like swallowed glass. As I considered the mess I had gotten myself into, a large furry head appeared in the opening of my snowy prison, sharp golden eyes fixed on me. "Go away, wolf!" I shouted, panic lacing my voice. But the huge wolf didn't move. Instead, he seemed to be assessing my situation. "What do you want, wolf?" I shouted again. He whined and fixed me with his unnerving stare, ancient, unblinking. Oh, what did it want? Help? Trap me? Play? Then, to my surprise, he began digging at the snowy opening with his powerful paws, each movement deliberate. He whined and yapped as he dug, pushing the snow behind himself, working to free me. Finally, he stopped digging. I made another attempt at the hole. The wolf watched me struggle. Every time I tried to create a foothold in the snow, my stiff limbs slipped back down. I groaned, tears of frustration burning in my eyes. It was getting so cold. Numbness was creeping into my fingers, and I had long since stopped feeling my toes. A strangled sob of frustration tore from my throat. The wolf fixed my gaze, panting, with open jaws, steam rising from his tongue. I was drawn into his eyes, mesmerized by the fiery specks deep in his amber irises. He seemed to be thinking about something and then suddenly lowered his big head down into the hole. I pulled back into my icy prison, fearing attack, but he seemed to be inviting me to grab onto his thick fur. I had no other choice. Wrapping my frozen fingers in the soft fur of his neck, I kicked against the snow as the wolf backed up, but my feet couldn't get any purchase. Suddenly, he grabbed my red hood in his jaws. A scream ripped from me, strangled by the cloth, crushing my windpipe. My heart hammered against my ribs like a trapped bird. Black spots danced at the edge of my vision. My lungs refused to fill properly, each breath a shallow, ragged scrape. The world narrowed to the pressure on my throat. The wet heat of his breath, a low, bone-deep growl that vibrated through the hood and into my very skull. He heaved. My head emerged, and the icy wind and snow hit my face. My legs scrambled frantically, trying to push against the pull to anchor myself in the snow somehow. No, I cried out, let go! I tried to scream, my voice half choked. I realized I was wasting my breath. He growled with closed fangs, saliva dripping in viscous crowns onto the snow. I saw then just how huge he was, much bigger than any wolf I'd ever seen. A shaggy mountain of shadow and muscle. His shoulders bunched like boulders beneath a thick pelt, his paws the size of trenches. He could have crushed me easily. Yet whatever he was doing, he wasn't going to kill me straight away. I stopped fighting. With my hood gripped firmly in his powerful jaws, he began to drag me through the thick snow. His paws crunched, his breath steamed in the air. My body was being pulled away from the river into the woods. Each step he took was deliberate and sure, his massive paws leaving deep impressions in the fresh powder. His head swung lowly, those golden eyes scanning the swirling white, then looking back onto me with unnerving focus. He hauled me like a sack of grain, my body bouncing over hidden roots and rocks beneath the snow, the frozen crust tearing at my clothes and skin. Finally, he stopped, dropping me in the lee of a snowdrift. Shielding myself from the storm, I knelt in the snow, catching my breath. Looking around, I realized that he had taken me back onto the main trail to the cottage. I looked up into the wolf's eyes. Thank you, I whispered hoarsely, my voice barely audible against the howling wind. I didn't understand why he had helped me, but I was too fatigued to question it or to feel anything but gratitude. He held my gaze for the longest time. I reached out to touch his snout, but with a whine, he turned and ran back off into the woods. I couldn't afford to linger, so I dragged myself up and forced my way through the deep snow. I was shivering with cold. Every step sent jagged balls of agony up my leg from the frozen ruin of my left foot. Pulling down my hood to ward off the worst of the storm, I started limping towards Grandma's cottage. Every moment a monumental effort against the crushing fatigue. It should have been a short hike, but another hour passed in the freezing cold before I saw the chimney in the distance. The light glowed warmly through the windows in the fading light. A promise of warmth too good to be true, after the wolf's rough mercy and the ice in my veins. Safety. Almost. But the ghost of amber eyes and the scent of wet fur clung to me, colder than the wind. I knocked the snow off my wet boots and opened the door tiredly. The cottage's warmth slapped my frozen cheeks. I stumbled inside, dripping snowmelt onto floorboards that smelled of rosemary and wood smoke. Familiar scents that suddenly felt cloying, suffocating. Grandma? I called into the dark cottage. She's asleep. A voice like grinding stones cut through the dark, vibrating in my ribcage. Silas? I exclaimed in surprise. Yes, Scarlet. Silas, he replied darkly. Where the fuck have you been? I stood in the entrance hall, my heart beating faster than it should. I heard a chair being pushed back and his heavy footsteps approaching me. Even the meagre light I could see, he had a face like thunder, his thick brows drawn together, as though he was going to punish me with his eyes alone. "Your grandma's been worried sick." The growl tore from him, frantic and frayed. His hand clamped my neck, much hurt, but as if I was a stray pup, he dragged back by the scruff. "And so have I. I don't like anything to happen to what's mine." He was almost 2 feet taller than me, his chest a solid wall of muscle. His grip bit into my neck, but beneath the anger, his voice held a raw edge, a tremor he couldn't quite suppress. His eyes held the same feral possessiveness I'd seen in Amber Iris's hours before. Two predators, one intent. I'm sorry, Silas. I murmured anxiously. I went too far east and I broke through the ice into the river. He loomed over me, his shadow swallowing the firelight. When his hand closed around my neck, his callous thumb pressed against my pulse point. A silent warning. "Haven't I taught you not to be so careless?" He pulled me closer until his forehead was resting against mine. "I'm sorry," I whispered. He pulled me in then, crushing his lips onto mine with some force. The only lips I'd ever known. Demanding and familiar. "Little bird," he murmured. His lips moved along my jawline to my neck and I whimpered, my knees suddenly soft. He sensed this and wrapped his powerful arm around my waist, pinning me to him. Then he suddenly stopped, froze. His grip around my waist loosened. His hand trembled slightly on my neck. What is it?" I asked nervously. He grabbed me by the shoulders and pushed me back to arm's length, scrutinizing my face. His nostrils flared, drawing in a deep, ragged breath. "I can smell it on you, Scarlet." His voice wavered. "What?" I asked, confused. "Don't play innocent," he replied, his voice strained. I don't understand." "Is that why you came late? Is that the truth of it?" His eyes gleamed with a feral, possessive rage I'd never seen before. I told you," I pleaded. The river. You reek of wet fur and wilderness and him," he hissed. "You smell of wolf. Do you deny it?" Now that he mentioned it, the faint musky odor clinging to my hood felt alien and the cottage's warmth. It put me out of the river," I whispered. "Would you rather I'd stayed there?" Silas snarled. "Stupid girl. Of course not." He swallowed hard. "Be that as it may, you stink. Take off your clothes." He stepped back and went to fetch the kettle from the stove. He poured some of the steaming water into a porcelain wash basin and topped it up with cold water from the matching jug. While he worked, I stripped off my thick winter jacket and sweater, followed by my damp, snow-soaked pants and socks until I stood only in my underwear. He looked at me, a curious expression on his face. "All of it," he murmured hoarsely. I stepped closer to the warming fire and pulled my vest up by the hem, exposing my naked breasts. My nipples were diamond hard, erect from the cold, my skin covered in goosebumps. His eyes didn't leave me for a second as I peeled down my damp and cold underclothes. "Stand there," He pointed at the rug immediately in front of the fire. He rifled through Grandma's cupboard until he had found a washcloth, which he threw into the basin before closing the distance between us. He set the basin down on a small table and held the washcloth up against my face. He hesitated for a split second, fixing my gaze. His eyes stripped me of more than my clothes. I felt unable to move, immobilized by the force of his will. My, what big eyes you've got, little sparrow. His thumb traced my lower lashes, smudging melted snow like tears. Are you scared of me? No, I lied, my voice shaking imperceptibly. A familiar heat warred with the icy dread in my belly. What a pretty, full mouth. He yoked a finger under my chin, forcing my gaze up. All the better for lying to me. His free hand grasped the back of my neck, while his other hand stroked my face and neck with long strokes of the washcloth. His hand on my neck was firm, bordering on painful, yet the thumb stroking my jawline with the washcloth held a terrifying gentleness. He wet the cloth in more warm water and ran it over the top of my chest until small rivulets of moisture ran down my naked body. The warm cloth traced the hollow of my throat. The water trickling between my breasts felt like a brand. His gaze followed each droplet, stripping me bare before he ever touched my skin. I shivered, despite the warmth of the fire. A cracking log in the fire made me jump. Silas brought his mouth closer to the side of my face. And look at those pretty ears. He murmured softly, all the better for listening to what you're told. He dropped the cloth and brought his thumb to my mouth. And what a pretty full mouth you've got. All the better for. He never finished the sentence as he closed his mouth on mine, crushing my lips in a rough kiss. He forced my lips open while his fingers delved between my thighs, finding my tight, hidden folds. Tell me who we belong to, Scarlet. He murmured hungrily into my mouth. I gasped, unable to form the words. You, Silas. I whined softly, I belong to you. The admission trembled on my lips. He rewarded it with teeth on my collarbone. Two of his big fingers pushed their way up my lips into my entrance. Spread your legs wider, he growled. I shuddered as I widened my stance, almost stumbling, if he hadn't stilled me by the neck. Good girl. My shivering intensified, a cocktail of cold, residual terror, and unwanted arousal. His command of me had made me wet, and he slid his fingers higher up into my pussy easily. He just held them there, completely still, listening to my soft moans. There's my girl. So wet. So needy. Silas. I whined a little desperately. Please. I choked out the word, thick with shame and need. Please what, sweetheart? He whispered cruelly. Please. Please move your fingers. I murmured breathily. Like this. He breathed heavily into my ears. Fingers weren't just in me. They claimed me, curling possessively against that secret place only he knew. Yes. And again. And again. My knees buckled as my pussy spasmed on his fingers. He pulled me closer to him and held my shaking body like a rag doll, and all I could do was moan into his chest while I kept coming apart on his hand. So beautiful. He groaned, and I could feel his erection straining through his breeches against my hip. He pushed my body backwards slowly, using his fingers and my pussy to steer me back towards the kitchen table. He pulled his fingers out of my pussy roughly, leaving it empty and in shock. I'm going to fuck you now, little bird. His filthy promise in my ear sent my head spinning. He flipped me round and folded me over the kitchen table, pressing me down into it by my neck. He used his other hand to free himself from his breeches, his heavy cock grazing my thighs. Tell me you want it, Scarlet. He hissed into my ear. Beg for me to take you. He had positioned his fat cockhead against my slick entrance and stroked it up and down between my pussy and my swollen clit. I felt desperate with need. My belly was hard and heavy, and the empty sensation in my cunt felt entirely unbearable. Please. I murmured again. Please, what, Scarlet? Use your words. Please, Alice. Please, do it. Do what, Scarlet? Say it. Please fuck me. I whined, shame rushing through my body.
I said, good girl.
He purred. I froze, shivering with anticipation, hating myself for how much I crave this. He impaled me, a single, brutal thrust that stole my breath and filled the aching void left by the cold and the fall. A guttural groan tore from his throat. I was tight that way, but so wet that he slid in up to the hilt without difficulties. He held it there, deep, pushing his hips as deep as they would go, impaling me on him as if it was a spear and I was his prey. He bent forward until his mouth could reach my shoulder and caught my flesh with his teeth. The weight of his body on mine was almost overwhelming, and I could feel my cunt walls fluttering around his cock from sheer arousal. You like this? Don't you, Scarlet? He gasped. When I didn't answer, he flexed his hips cruelly. I felt the pleasure pain of his cockhead probing my cervix deep in my belly. Answer me, Scarlet.
Yes.
I nearly sobbed.
Yes, Silas. I like it. I want it. Please, just fuck me.
Of course, my sweet, needy girl. He murmured, his voice dripping with sadistic seduction. He wrapped his massive arms around my torso and started thrusting into me with long, deep thrusts. His breath was hot in my ears and his moans mingled with mine as he worked my cunt with expert strokes. He slammed into me again, again. Each stroke a claim staked deep in my core, unraveling me until there was nothing but sensation. Surrender. My inner walls spasmed around him again and again, and he found spot after spot of intense pleasure. He owned this pussy, this body, this terrified, yielding heart. I was falling apart on his cock, losing all control of my body, legs twitching, belly pulsing, my cries sounding through the quiet cottage. Each cry that tore from my throat echoed in the silent cottage, a stark contrast to the crackling fire. Stay asleep. The thought was a desperate prayer beneath the waves of pleasure. Silas started thrusting harder now, fueled by my cries, abandoning himself to his own passion. Heat started condensing in my core like liquid fire. Even as I was already contracting on his cock, I felt a climax building hot and heavy in my belly. Silas's noises were becoming more and more uncontrolled as he ravaged my willing pussy. I could feel he was close. His big hand reached around, reaching for my clit. Come for me, Scarlet. He gasped and squeezed my clit between his thumb and forefinger. I cried, out loudly as orgasm crashed over me. My pussy clamped down on Silas like a vice, squeezing him hard until he emptied himself inside me with a growl. I felt his cock twitch as warm cum fill me up as I hung gasping in his arms.
Scarlet, he groaned, burying his face in my neck. Remember, we belong to... Yes, Silas. I murmured, following the unspoken rules of our engagement. Good girl. Mine knows her place. He breathed into my neck. I could smell his sweat mixed with my own arousal and the lingering ghost of the wolf. He had picked me up and carried me over to the cottage's spare bedroom. I felt like a child against his bulk. I could feel a seed slowly trickling down the inside of my thighs. He didn't rinse it off, even though he could have. He wanted me marked by him, his scent evaporating off my skin. He tucked me under the covers before stripping his own clothes off. His large hunting knife clanged heavily as he placed it on the bedside table, the scabbard covered in symbols I'd never noticed before. All forcefulness had gone from him. He wrapped himself around me, cradling me like a prized possession. I'd given up trying to understand him. His arms were iron bands I craved and cursed. To leave meant war. To stay meant surrender. Both tasted like fear. I spent the night cocooned in his warm embrace, but when I woke in the morning, he was gone.